guess what day it is.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. Wednesday.
It's Best of Elves Podcast.
That's like the coolest thing I ever heard.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining me again on another Wednesday for the Pastor Adams devotional podcast, whatever you want to call it. Just by the way, I do this podcast from my church. I got built this little studio in here, but I was walking at the front of the lobby and it just reeked up there of vinegar. And so we have a facilities team that, they do a great job cleaning the place, keeping it nice and looking good for everybody. But they love using vinegar. Can't get enough of it. Put vinegar in everything. Even shampooing the carpets, I'm walking by, I'm like, and it just smells of vinegar. And like, it's a good cleaning agent. Okay. I mean, I'm no scientist when it comes to finding it, but you know what vinegar does? It stinks. It reeks. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's up there with scents that I hate. And I'm like, hey, next time you shampoo the carpet in my office, please don't put vinegar in. It's so gross. I don't like fake scents like air fresheners and all that, but I also don't like stuff like vinegar, garlic, you know, that kind of stuff. But, man, it smelled like old sweat socks when I walked up in the lobby. And I'm like, just because it's clean doesn't mean it has to smell terrible, like a teenager's feet. It's gross. I don't like it. So I'm just putting it out there. I don't like vinegar smell. And I don't like using it to clean stuff. Yeah, I said it. There it is. Moving on. So over the past 5 weeks, you may know, you may not, but now you do. I've been running a small group for the worship team. It's all about worship. But per my normal groups that I run, of terms of small groups that I've run in the past, they always start out with a bang. A lot of attendance, a lot of good stuff in there, and then over the weeks, the numbers dwindle. It's just what happens. It just happens. So when you start out with, you know, like 13, 14, 15 people, and everyone's engaged and participating, it's great. We all have a good time. And, but when less people show up, the engagement goes down a little bit and the participation goes down a little bit. You got people who aren't like really getting involved, and it's just not the same. I mean, the work to make the small group happen, the messages, you know, what we're going to talk, that stays the same. It actually increases in difficulty. Because in a perfect world, I would like to make like the 6 week small group thing build off one to the next, so that you had to hear what was in the first one to be in the next one, because that's good stuff that works well. But I've even had people ask who can't attend, hey, can you send me the notes, can you send me like transcripts, whatever like that, and I do, and I can, and that's, and I like the attempt to be like, you know, I wish I was there, but can I still get this information, because it's good. That makes me feel a little better. But even if you read the notes or the transcript or whatever, you miss out on all the good stuff that happens in the group, the discussion, the ideas that I haven't come up with, the like different takes on scripture or new scripture that I hadn't put into it that relates, that you get more out of. Just a lot of things get lost when you like simply read what I prepared in the notes. Plus, I don't prepare every single thing that I talk about in there. You know, I'll be like, add the story into my notes. Well, you don't know what the story is because it's not in the transcript. You know what I mean? Now, I'd mention that this type of thing typically happens as a small group. So we know, like, I factor this in that I'm going to lose people throughout the thing. It's fine. Like I said, I would like to build off of one another, but knowing that people aren't going to show up, I have to make all these kind of seem more like standalone messages with, you know, the message being a central theme of worship for this, you know, specific group worship, my other small groups, not just on worship, you know. And I find one of the greatest things that I could do as a small group leader is run the Alpha course, which is what I used to come to faith. But I didn't use it. I took the Alpha course. Throughout the Alpha course, I came to faith. That's where that went. So it's really important to me. I really like it. And so after I did that, I actually participated and led and maybe like 8, 10, 12 different Alphas since I've come to faith. Like, I've done it a bunch of times. And when I first went to Alpha the very first time, which is, you know, like kind of like an introductory to what Alpha is going to be, I was asked by the leader if I was going to come back the next week, because, you know, it's up to you if you want to come back after that first week, whatever. If I was going to come back, would I commit to the entire course? And that included a weekend getaway. And the reason for that ask of commitment is because each message does build from off of the previous one. So from week to week to week, we're building this introduction to Christianity, and it's very important. Because if you miss it, you're going to miss out on a big portion, you'll have a big gap in what we're talking about and learning about, right? So my wife and I committed to it. Committed. We said we were going to be there regardless. And we also had a little girl at that time too. So it wasn't like we were single and didn't have anything else to do. We committed to it. And we didn't miss a single week. And we went away for the weekend with that group. Now, since then, when I've run the Alpha course, you know, the 8, 10, 12 times, however many it may be, not one person has made the entire 10 weeks. And I actually condensed it to 8 weeks, got rid of the weekend because nobody could ever make it to all those stuffs. And guess what? The results were the same. Like, the last time I ran it here out of my house, I think it was like a year ago, year and a half, I don't know, I said I'd sent out messages to everybody. Hey, if you're going to do this, I really need you to be here for everyone. And like I said, nothing happened. Like, everybody bailed on one here, there. So it's just, it didn't work. It didn't work at all. So the results were the same, even when I asked for the commitment. So where does that leave me feeling as a leader? And this sounds like sour grapes, but trust me, we're getting somewhere through this devotional. It's going to be different. It's going to be good. We have a happy ending here. But where does that leave me feeling as a small group leader, as a pastor that's, you know, doing this? Feeling kind of like a failure. Like, I feel like when everyone is here and participating, that everyone's liking it, they're finding value in it. The food people seem to like, which is, by the way, a major pain in my butt and crazy expensive nowadays. People seem to enjoy it. Maybe they're not just being nice. That could be. I don't know. But I'm trying, right? I'm trying to get good messages. I'm trying to have good food, good conversation, learning, all that. But in the end, you have to ask yourself, it must not be good enough. Maybe I'm not good enough leader. I don't know. Things like that. That creeps in your head. And by the way, I know life happens and things come up, and I'm in no way upset with anyone in particular about not showing up for small group, whatever. I have no heartburn with anyone whatsoever that doesn't attend small group every week. People get sick. People have to go out of town for things. People have work. People have sports, childcare issues. Lots of things happen, and I get it. I get it. And I just want to reiterate, if you are listening to this, thinking that I'm talking about you, I am. You are the problem. I'm just kidding. No. I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I'm just the general, let's take a general aspect of just the small group dynamic of people not showing up every week and just feeling that way when whatever. Even my wife, I talked to her about it. Like, when the first week when it was like 5 or 6 people showed up, she's like, yep, that's what happens to me every single time. I'll have 18, 20 women come to my house. Next week, it goes down. It just continues to trickle down because, you know, the commitment's not there. I don't know. It's just what it is. But then I think about this, the small group, or let's say an event that you're going to have that I'm going to put on, whatever it may be. What truly makes it a success or a failure anyway? What am I thinking? And I think that a lot of times, most times, we look to attendance, engagement, participation. Those things are like the markers of success. Less than that is a failure. I mean, cause like this small group I'm in now, when I have fewer numbers of people here, are they engaged while they're here? I mean, for the most part, do they participate? They participate here. Do they learn something from the message every week? I think so. I hope so. So then you ask yourself, why am I so down on myself and this and down on the whole model of this small group? Because maybe the problem is that I am trying to gauge success on earthly, tangible measurements rather than what Christ measures success in. So that's what I kind of want to look at today, is like the measure of success in Christ. So in the world that we're constantly measuring success through tangible achievements, I think we can all agree with that. Wealth, status, popularity. Believers in Christ are called to different standard, you can say. Our works for Christ cannot be quantified by earthly metrics. Instead, they should be rooted in faith, love, and obedience to God's calling. So in this devotional podcast thing, I'm going to kind of explore the biblical foundation for understanding that true success in our walk with Christ in running a small group and ministry itself. It should not be measured by worldly standards. And I feel like I got to remind myself that. So let's start with the scripture that I used. Maybe I used it last week or the week before. I don't know, within the last couple weeks, we'll say that. And that's Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For your treasure is there, your heart will be also. So in this verse, Jesus challenges us to redefine our understanding of success, which I think can be very hard to do. The treasures we accumulate in life are fleeting, vanishing, disappearing if we think about the overall context of life and our timeline of beginning to end on earth. We're dying. Things are going to be like. So when we align our hearts with the Lord, our perspective shifts, or it should shift, right? Our acts of kindness, service, and devotion may not always give us immediate visible results, but they contribute to an ongoing impact in God's kingdom, whether we see it in the tangible metrics or not. So I had to take a moment and evaluate my life in terms of being a ministry leader. Am I pursuing earthly accolades, meaning like immediate results, or am I focusing on heavenly treasures? And I've got to consider a way that I can shift my focus from temporary achievements to eternal significance, you could say. And I think that that's something that a lot of leaders do. We're looking for that immediate result to see what's going on. So let's read 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. It says, but God chose the foolish things in the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God's kingdom operates on a weird paradoxical logic. And when I use that term paradoxical logic, I'm saying like when things seem to contradict itself, and that you can only see results by doing the opposite of what you would normally think would be the things that make you successful. What the world deems as foolish or weak can become powerful vessels for his glory. I mean, if we just look at the life of David, he was a shepherd boy and he was chosen over his brothers, who were, you know, higher up on the on the scale, up on the totem pole, whatever. Or the apostles, many of those apostles were just ordinary fishermen. They didn't have some high status job with power or anything like that. Their success was not measured by their status, but by their faithfulness and obedience to God's calling. And when I think of this idea, I think of my friend Jim Charlton. He was a successful lawyer who decided to go a different way to serve his Lord with his talents rather than, you know, make a ton of money, gain more power and influence in the world. What most people would consider success in the world today, you know, all that. Instead, he would raise money to work for the people who created the Alpha Course. He helped get Alpha into so many churches. He became involved in his local church. He raised up his family and with biblical values with the help of his wife, of course. And to me, he's a shining example of success. And it's a better form of success than the majority of society strives for. So the paradoxical thing there, the paradox there is, in Jim's case, was to be successful, quit your high-paying, high-status, influential, and powerful job, raise your own money if you can, and push the gospel. Then you will find success. So I hope you're following me here. So what is success in God's eyes? Well, that's faithfulness. So we read 1 Corinthians 4:2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Faithfulness is the measure of our success in God's eyes. This requires us to focus on our calling rather than results. And I have to say, that is hard. That's super. In ministry, our measurables are usually based on butts and seats, the how many attend, how many are, you know, like engaged and participating, that type of thing. But it's the faithfulness that God is searching for. Don't you think, when I was talking about my friend Jim, that took a lot of faith to walk away from security, walk away from wealth, walk away from comfort, to go into ministry where you had to raise your own money, you had to do everything just by relying on God. That takes a lot of faith, and that is something that he's looking for in all of us. And so let me go back to one of my favorite go-to scriptures, and I'm going to relate it to this topic. It's Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. When we work as if we're serving Christ, we shift our perspective, what we should be, from seeking validation from the world and seeing immediate results, you know, tangible metrics of success, to seeking fulfillment in God. Our acts of service, however small or unnoticed to the world, are significant in the eyes of God. Every cup of water given in his name counts towards the kingdom. And that's from Mark 9:41. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. So if I circle back to the small group thing, I have to remind myself, I'm not doing it for the worship team that's here. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the Lord, and I'm going to rest on my faith in him that what I'm doing is good. And I have to know that, you know, my work is being considered, that I'm storing up those treasures in heaven, that I am relying on my faithfulness to continue the job, continue my calling, doing what I can to help expand the kingdom, because it is all seen by him. It is all loved by him, as long as I'm doing it for him. So, yeah, I'm not saying don't show up for small group. Definitely not. I'm saying, number one, you should probably try to get to small group on a consistent base. If you're going to be in one, commit to it. You should. I understand that there's things that happen. I've missed a thing or two in my life as well. Try not to, but it has happened. Not mad at anybody, just reiterating that. Because I feel like somebody would be like, man, he's really talking about me. No, I'm not. I might be, but not really. So yeah, that's what I have for you today. Hopefully it made some sense and you got something out of it. And I mean, let's just talk about this podcast. This is something I do straight up by faith, because the metrics don't show that that it's, you know, I'm not on some trajectory to get millions of views and downloads and streams and all that. I just have faith that maybe it's affecting somebody. It's pushing the gospel onto somebody at some point somewhere in the world. So, yeah. Anyways, that's what I have for you today. I'm going to stop rambling on about nothing. Have a good one. We'll be right back.